Today's scripture reading is found in
I will be reading from the ESV. Hear the word of the Lord. Preserve me, God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dennis, for sharing that beautiful passage of scripture with us here this morning. I guess if Trey gets up here after he's been here for years and says his name, I guess I can do the same still. I've not been here for years. I think this is our fourth Sunday being here with you. My name is Jeff Brown. Of course, you also see that in your bulletin. But it is my privilege and honor to be here with you once again, not only sharing in the message this morning, but also sharing in the worship with you all this morning. Hadn't it been a great day to worship the Lord here in his house today? Tim, thank you so much for the worship this morning. I really love the song that was played, "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done." Tim, beautiful music, and even more so beautiful are the words of that song. That Tim shared a lot of those words before the song. It says, how can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? But to God be the glory, great things he has done. You know, a lot of Sundays as I've began the time of the message, I have taken a few moments to pray for friends, specifically friends who are preaching. I got one such note this morning. Y'all can tell by now, I tend to use Facebook a lot. But I'll let you in on something, not as much as my wife does, but that's okay. But I do like Facebook, and I usually share, on Sunday morning, I'll share a verse. If I'm preaching somewhere, I'll share a verse from the scripture typically. But had a gentleman that commented on my Facebook post this morning, and he said, Jeff, I'll be praying for you. And his name is Jonathan Holsey, and I also knew that Jonathan was preaching this morning at the Gold Ridge Baptist Church. I don't remember the town, but it's in Alabama. So they're on Central Time. He's probably not behind the pulpit just yet. It's about 10:25 there where he's going to be preaching at the Gold Ridge Baptist Church. But I commented back and I said, Jonathan, I will be praying for you this morning also. So when we go to the Lord in prayer in just a moment, I'm going to lift his name up before the Lord. And I'm just so thankful to have praying friends. And I'm so thankful to be in a church that emphasizes the importance of prayer. And if the Lord continues to guide me, as I think he is, we'll be talking more about that next Sunday. How Jesus said, well, Jesus quoted the prophet Isaiah, I believe, when he said, my Father's house shall be a house of prayer for all people. If the Lord continues to guide me in that, that will be our message for next Sunday morning. But let's go to the Lord in prayer right now, and then we will look into our message for today. Our Father, it is with very humble, very thankful hearts that we bow before you in this time. Father, I want to thank you for the privilege of being able to stand in this very special place today. Lord, not just because I'm standing behind your pulpit, but because I'm standing in your sanctuary with your people. Father, I thank you so much for this church. Lord, I thank you for just the warm, receptive hearts that this church has shown to me and to my family. I'm so grateful for that. And I just want to pray your continued blessings upon this body of believers, Father. I pray for this church that you would continue to strengthen this church. Father, even during this time of transition, Father, where things are changing here in this church, we don't know exactly what you're going to do going forward, but Father, we see that you are continually on the move. And I'm very thankful for that, and I just pray, Lord, that your will would be done in this place. I pray for the deacons in this church. I pray for the Sunday school teachers in this church, for those who lead in other areas, Father. I just lift all these people up to you and thank you, Lord, for what they do to further your kingdom in this place. I thank you for those who serve in the administration roles, for those who serve in the worship leadership, Father. I just pray for all those who serve in this church. Father, even for those who are prayer warriors on behalf of this church. Lord, those things that go on behind the scenes that others don't see, but those people that spend time in their private prayer closets praying for this church, I thank you for that, and thank you that you will honor those prayers. And Lord, speaking of prayers, I want to pray this morning, right now, for my friend Jonathan Hulsey, who will be preaching your word this morning at the Gold Ridge Baptist Church in Alabama. Lord, I just pray that you would anoint him. Father, that you would just fill him with your Holy Spirit today, and that you give him the words that need to be shared with that congregation. Father, I pray that that lives would be touched, the souls would be saved, the people would be changed, Lord. Father, I pray the same prayer here for us at Waleska First Baptist, that we would not walk out of these doors today the same as we came in, but Father, that we would be changed. Father, that our eyes would be open to you, that we would be more attentive to your holy presence, that we would be sensitive to the leadership of your Holy Spirit. And I do continue to pray that your Holy Spirit would just minister and move in this place today. Father, bless every person in this church today. Father, there's so many sweet, precious souls within the walls of this church building today. And Father, you know all of them. You know every need. And I just pray that you minister to your people here in this place today. Father, for each person present here, that you would minister to their needs, Lord, as we know only you can. Thank you, Lord, for knowing what is best for us. Thank you for the promise that all things work together for good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And Father, we want to serve your purpose here today as we dive into your word this morning. And I just pray, Lord, that you would indeed have your way in it here today in this time. It's in Jesus' name we do humbly pray. Amen. If you would please take your Bibles once again and turn with me to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 28. We're going to be back in the Old Testament once again this morning. If you were here last Sunday, we were in the New Testament last Sunday. I do like to keep that fairly balanced. Now, of course, I always try to preach where God leads me, so it's not going to always be every other Sunday in the Old and the New Testament, although so far it has been when I've preached here for you. And I do believe next Sunday we will be back in the New Testament. But we'll be in the Old Testament this morning, reading from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 19 this morning is our focus passage. Now, I know we just stood for the reading of God's Word a moment ago. This is always optional if you're not comfortable standing. But if you'd like to do so with me, let's stand together in honor of the Word of the Lord as we partake of it once again. Genesis chapter 28, and I'll read verses 10 through 19. It says, "Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place." Verse 12 says he had a dream. "And behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold," it says, "the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. He says in verse 14, your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then in verse 16, it says, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. It says he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on its top. He called the name of that place Bethel. However, previously the name of the city had been Luz. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Now, this passage of scripture that we just read is one that many of you may be familiar with already. I'm sure most of us have heard stories and songs about Jacob's ladder. In fact, I can remember hearing about this story when I was a child in Sunday school. You see, what I'm doing there is giving a shout out to our Sunday school teachers. It's a very important ministry that you play. I still remember Sunday school and hearing about Jacob's ladder. And as a young child, I can even remember feeling sorry for Jacob that he had no pillow and he had to instead lay his head down upon a rock to sleep. But today we're going to look at this story with a little bit different insight. I am going to give some of the brief historical highlights, but what I really want us to focus on this morning is verses 16 and 17 of Genesis chapter 28. Because you see, this isn't just a story about Jacob or the ladder that he saw in a dream. This is a story about worship. This is a sermon about acknowledging that we are here in the presence of God, in the house of God. Now, just to give a little bit of the background, this story comes at a time when Jacob is still a young man. He has very recently left the comfort and the security of home. He's been given the birthright and blessing of his father, and he is now of the age and of the inclination to marry, and he will soon be making a life of his own. Now, we know that Jacob's father, Isaac, was a godly man, and the birthright blessing that he has bestowed upon Jacob, Isaac had bestowed upon Jacob, included the admonition to heed to the Lord. Now, we can assume that Isaac taught his sons about the Lord by both word and by example. But in this point of the life of Jacob, we don't really know where he stands spiritually. And what I mean is, although Jacob is the son of Isaac and the grandson of Abraham, we don't really know yet how close Jacob himself was to the Lord. Now, we know that in the days very soon to come, he's about to draw closer to God. In just a few chapters, at the end of Genesis 32, we see where Jacob has an encounter with a celestial being where he wrestles with this heavenly visitor. That's just a few chapters later in Genesis chapter 32. But in our focus passage here today of Genesis 28, Jacob is still young and he is still learning and he is seeking. But tired from his journey, Jacob stops to rest in a place known as Luz. That's spelled L-U-Z. Now, we can assume that he was no doubt exhausted, because rather than finding or making a more suitable pillow, Jacob simply lays his head to rest upon a stone, and then he drifts off to sleep.
And that is when the dream occurs. This well-known vision of Jacob where he sees that famous ladder. And we read about that ladder in verse 12 of Genesis 28. It says, and Jacob had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God, it says, were ascending and descending on it. Then in verse 13, Jacob hears the voice of God speak to him in his dream. And we read that God reminds Jacob that he is the God of his father and of his grandfather. And then God makes a vow to uphold Jacob and to bless his descendants. Now, to the best of our knowledge, this is Jacob's first personal encounter with God. He's likely heard much about God in the household in which he was raised. He was certainly curious about God and is even seeking after God to know him in a more personal, intimate way. Yes, something we all should be doing, seeking after God to know him in a more personal and intimate way. But there's several things we can see here in Jacob's dream that brought him closer to God. First of all, Jacob learned that the God of Isaac, his father, who was also the God of Abraham, his grandfather, Jacob learned that that could be his God as well. He then visualized, yes, there was a place called heaven with the heavenly angels as its inhabitants, alongside with God himself, the omnipotent creator of all the universe. But that's not all that Jacob learned. Jacob learned that God was very accessible. This ladder that showed a path between earth and heaven, you see, it was more than just a symbol. This ladder, which provided the way unto God, was representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. Did you know that? In fact, there's a most interesting verse in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 51. I'm going to read that verse from John 1 and verse 51. Jesus is having a conversation with Nathanael, and Jesus says the following. It says in verse 51 of John 1, and he, meaning Jesus, said unto him, truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man, meaning himself. Jesus frequently referred to himself as the Son of Man, and here he actually makes a reference which bears striking resemblance to the vision that Jacob had regarding the ladder going to heaven. And my friends, if you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Jacob had a vision in which he saw a pathway into heaven. We could call it a portal. We could almost call it an access point. Well, we know that Jesus is the only way unto salvation. He's the only way to heaven. In John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one, he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, we know that sin separates mankind from God, but through Jesus and through what Jesus did on the cross, our sins are atoned. We could even say our sins are erased if you know Jesus as your Savior. Therefore, Jesus is the link between mankind and God. Jesus is that bridge, or we could even say that ladder, that provides the way unto eternal life in heaven with God. You see, that ladder in the dream was representative of Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary. And Jacob learned in his vision that there was indeed a way unto God. God was accessible. The immeasurable distance between sinful man and holy God would eventually be bridged by God's Son, Jesus Christ. And here on this night, with his head laid upon a stone, Jacob is given a glimpse into the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Jacob learned a spiritual truth, a saving truth. And my friends, he awoke a changed man. You see, that's the first primary point in our message today, that the ladder which Jacob saw represents Jesus Christ. And listen, I do sincerely hope and pray that all of you here know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Again, Jesus is the bridge between God and mankind. Sin separates, but Jesus redeems. And salvation through Jesus Christ is yours for the asking. That is why He came. That is why He gave. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then I plead with you. I invite you to receive Him. At the end of our message today, we will have a time of invitation in which you can come forward and pray. If you've never received Jesus Christ, don't walk out of these doors today without praying and asking Him to come into your heart and life to be your Savior and Lord. But as we move along in our message, there is another point of emphasis that I want us to grasp here today. The other point of focus that I wanted us to notice is the words that Jacob spoke, the words of revelation that he shared when he awoke from his dream. Look back to verses 16 and 17 of Genesis 28 for a moment. You know how sometimes there's certain passages of Scripture that you can read through them for years and not pay attention to certain aspects? For me, this was one of those passages. As we read through this story about Jacob's dream, we tend to focus on the rock as a pillow. I know in earlier years, that's the biggest thing I saw. And then maybe people focus on that ladder, not realizing, first of all, that the ladder is Jesus. And then secondly, we tend to skim right over the part where Jacob acknowledges that he is in God's presence. And we don't even correlate that we ourselves might be in the same situation as Jacob. How is that, you might say? Well, look again at verse 16. It says, "Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.'" My friends, sadly, that reminds me too much, I'll just go ahead and say it, of the typical Baptist churchgoer. So many individuals walk in and out of church doors every Sunday without giving much thought to the fact that they are coming before the very presence of Holy God. And sometimes I'm afraid, I think I may have said this a couple of weeks ago too, but our worship of God too often is ritualistic and shallow. I mean, when is the last time you left church, you got into your car and exclaimed, "Wow, we were in the presence of God today"? Now, someone might be thinking, "Well, now, preacher, isn't that your job to make me feel that inspired?" Well, actually, no, it's not. It's not the job of the preacher to make you feel close to God. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit draws us unto God, but you see, He does not bless the heart that is not receptive to Him. The problem is not that the Holy Spirit is not doing His part. The problem is that our own hearts have grown calloused and cold. I mean, even now, at this very moment, some of us may just be thinking about what we're going to have for lunch soon, or where you're going to go as soon as the service is over, or maybe about that ball game you want to watch this afternoon. You see, Sunday worship has become so commonplace for us. We are accustomed to the routine. It's like church attendance has just become an obligation, like it's something on a checklist that we can go and sit and give God a wink and a wave and then call it done. Well, now that's over, so on with the rest of our week, folks. I pray we will get beyond the familiarity. I pray that we will see beyond the routine, and I pray that we will no longer be content with spiritual mediocrity. For too many churchgoers, we're just like Jacob, having been in God's presence and hardly even aware of it. What a tragedy. Is that happening in your church? Is it possibly happening in your own life? Friends, let's not let that be the case. Now, listen, I realize God is ever present. You don't have to be within the walls of a church building to be near Him. And on that subject, I'll just say, I hope each of us worship privately, daily, away from this place. But at the same time, God has instituted the concept of corporate worship, meaning there's something special about gathering together with God's people, coming together with the same mind and the same purpose, and that is specifically to worship our God. There's something special about gathering in the church building that is designated for that purpose. The church building, which is to be a house of prayer and worship, and is a building that we call the house of God. Now, that is something special. That is something sacred. That is a holy privilege that should not be taken for granted, but I'm afraid too often it is. Like Jacob, have we not even realized that we are in the presence of God Himself? I'm glad Jacob woke up and realized it. I hope the church will eventually wake up and realize it as well. And now listen, I mean that in several ways. Number one, I mean that toward God's church in general, God's church overall. But you know, secondly, more specifically, right at this moment, yeah, we could say that applies to this very church. Waleska First Baptist. The application is for us. And I'm going to repeat that thought I said just a moment ago. I hope our church, see, I changed that word. Hope our church will wake up and realize that we are in the presence of God. Now, am I implying that this church is asleep? No, actually, I'm not, because listen, I don't know your church quite as well as you do. I've been around here a little bit. I think this is the fourth Sunday that we've had the privilege to be here and share with you. I'm still not an active member here, though. But listen, those of you who are, what is your assessment of the spiritual condition of your church? If not asleep, then maybe perhaps a little groggy. I don't know. It's okay. You could say amen. And listen, if you do, that doesn't mean you're pointing the finger at someone else either. If I say the church may be a little spiritually stagnant and you say amen, hopefully you're seeing your own needs and not just blaming those around you. And my friends, listen, I certainly don't intend to come across as accusational, because believe me, I see much shortcoming in my own personal worship of God. But I do believe, friends, as God's church, we have got to wake up and realize that we are indeed in God's holy presence. Did you know when Jacob realized it, he was actually afraid? Look back to Genesis 28 to verse 17. And this is just after Jacob made the proclamation that he was in the presence of the Lord. Look what it says in verse 17. And remember, in verse 16, Jacob has just finished saying, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." Then in verse 17, it says, "He was afraid and said, 'How awesome is this place?'" You know, the King James Version says, "How dreadful." Jacob was afraid. But he says, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God." And then he says, "And this is the gate of heaven." Friends, did you know you can say that very same thing about our church? This is the house of God, and therefore, how awesome is this place? Does that strike fear into you the way it did unto Jacob? I mean, if nothing else, it should strike us with a sense of holy awe and holy reverence. We are here to worship God. And God help us if we forget that or overlook that. Listen to these words of Jacob once again. "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not even know it." Let's look at how our passage closes. In verse 18, we read, "So Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on its top." Now, I have to stop here for just a moment, do a small play on words, but notice how the purpose of this rock has now changed. The rock went from being a pillow to being a pillar in verse 18. That's P-I-L-L-A-R. Two very similar sounding words, but with a vastly different meaning. A pillow, as we know, is something upon which to rest. But a pillar is something that gives support, or in this context, it refers to something set up as a monument. So getting off the pillow, that could be a message to God's church today regarding the church building and our church services. You see, coming into God's house on Sunday, well, I believe it should be a relaxing experience, but still, let's not come in here just to sit back and rest. Instead, let's come into this place prepared to genuinely and sincerely acknowledge the presence of our Lord and then worship Him accordingly. Jacob slept on that rock, but once he woke up and realized he was in the presence of God, he took what had been his pillow and he made it a pillar of worship. Then he took the anointing oil and he poured it upon the rock. Now, that's a symbolic action that we don't necessarily relate well to because it's a custom that we don't typically practice in this day and time. And we see that act of anointing oil mentioned more so in the Old Testament, but still a few times in the New Testament. But what that was, this action was a continuation of Jacob's worship of God. God had appeared unto Jacob while his head rested on that particular rock for a pillow. So Jacob, in remembrance and in honor of the occasion, anointed the rock with oil to show the significance of that rock. Which is not to say that there was anything divine about the rock itself, but what was special was the event that had occurred while Jacob rested on that rock. And that event was that Jacob's eyes were opened unto God. My dear friends, I pray that our eyes will be opened unto Him this morning also. As we wind down today, let me reread verse 19. It says, and he called the name of that place Bethel. However, previously the name of the city had been Luz. And that again is spelled L-U-Z. Now there are two things that I want us to notice about this verse. First is the name that Jacob gave this place. He called the place Bethel, which translated means house of God. And from that day forward, when Jacob was in this place called Bethel, meaning house of God, he worshiped. But think about that. He called the place Bethel, meaning house of God. My friends, this church is your Bethel. This church is the place that you call the house of God. And I pray that when you come into this place, you are prepared to worship. Another thing I wanted us to notice from verse 19 is that there was a change. When Jacob realized that he had been in the presence of the Lord, he even went so far as to change the name of this place, to change the name of the location which he was in. It was previously called Luz, which I know in some languages that word means light. But now Jacob gives it a name with even greater significance. But listen, this wasn't just a name change. Jacob changed. His attitude and his actions changed from that day forward. And thus is the invitation for all of us today. Like Jacob, will you recognize that we are, in fact, in the presence of the Lord? And like Jacob, will you make a change to sincerely acknowledge and worship the Lord your God? The other aspect, the invitation is this. We covered it earlier in the message, but Jesus is in fact the ladder that Jacob dreamed about. We know that Jesus is that bridge that covers our sin and makes the way unto God. And did you notice in verse 17 how when Jacob saw that ladder, he recognized it as the gate. He said, "This is the gate of heaven." And Jesus is that gateway. He is the doorway unto God. Listen, these are Jesus' own words in John chapter 10 and verse 9. Jesus said of himself, he said, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved. Friends, you can find your salvation in Jesus Christ. As we prepare to close our message today, let me remind you that there is nothing else you can do of your own efforts to experience redemption other than humbly acknowledging that you are a sinner and reaching out to Jesus Christ, receiving Him as your Savior and embracing Him as your Lord. We could never atone for our own sin, but Jesus did that for us on the cross. Jesus has already made the way. All you have to do is to reach out and receive Him. You know, this message today, it is a message about Jesus, and it is a message about worship. And how fitting, since Jesus should be at the center of our worship. We're going to have our time of invitation here in just a moment. I ask you today, are you going to respond? And I don't just mean coming down the aisle, but what I mean is, will you make this message a reality in your life? And if you've never made the decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, won't you come this morning? Let me pray with you and introduce you to Jesus. If you already know Jesus as your Savior, I ask you, are you worshiping Him daily, both publicly and privately? And is that worship sincere? Will you make that commitment today to daily and consistently acknowledge His holy presence in your life and then live like He is in your life? Friends, we are in the presence of the Lord. Don't overlook it, and please don't ignore it. Let's pray. Father, it is in Jesus' name that we bow before You once again. And Father, I do thank You for the words that we've learned today in Your Word. Thank You for this lesson from Jacob when he awoke from sleep and realized that he was in the very presence of God. And he said, the presence of the Lord is in this place and I did not even know it. Father, as we come into Your house, may we be ever aware of Your presence. May we draw our hearts near unto You to worship You accordingly. And Father, I thank You for the ladder that Jacob saw in that dream, that ladder which showed an access point, a portal unto heaven. And Father, that was further clarified in the New Testament when Jesus said that you would see angels descending and ascending on the Son of Man, that He was in fact that ladder. And Father, we know that He is the only way by which we can attain salvation and thus eternal life in heaven. I humbly pray here today, Lord, if there is anyone listening who does not know Jesus as their personal Savior and their Lord, I pray that they would not let this moment pass without calling out to You and acknowledging that they are a sinner in need of redemption. Father, I just pray that You would, even if there's someone not in this building, but someone listening later online, Father, that they would just call out to You, saying something like, God, I know that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I pray that You would forgive my sins, cleanse me, and renew me. And I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank You, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. I make You not only my Savior, but I want You to be my Lord as I commit to live for You going forward. I pray, Father, if there are sinners who have never made a prayer like that, that they would call out to You here today. Thank You, Lord, for receiving lost sinners with open arms. And I pray that You have Your way here in this place today. So we have our time of invitation, and it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite you to go ahead and stand for our invitation hymn. And of course, I've said this before, and I will say it again. I like to remind you that this is called an invitation because that is what it is. You are being invited to respond. If you want to come down and kneel at this altar to pray, or sometimes people just like to sit on the front row or stand at the altar to pray, whatever you'd like to do, if you'd like for me to pray with you, I'd be so honored to do that. I'll be down here at the front. Whatever your need is, I just ask you, respond to our Lord this morning. Amen.
Thank you all for joining us this morning. What an amazing time of worship and a time of study God's word. This morning, I do want to encourage you before you leave. Again, we do have the sign-up sheets in the foyer for the luncheon following our homecoming service. So make sure you stop by, sign up on that sheet. That way we know who else is coming and who's bringing something. But with that being said, the last thing I want to leave you with this morning is this thought. Don't forget, like Jeff said this morning, that God is in this place. God is here with us this morning. He is here with you when you leave. Don't let this morning be the only time you worship Him this week. As you go, remember, study Him, His Word. Worship with Him this week and on your own before we come back together again. So you're dismissed, and we'll see you guys on Wednesday night.